Blog Talk Radio.
In a second. What a night. What a night. I am so excited about this show. A great Survivor show. Coach Wade's going to be joining us tonight.
It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is.
It all comes down to this.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Coach Wade's foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Slayer Radio. Tonight is April 12th, 2012. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host tonight, along with Mr. Paul from Minnesota. How was your day today, Paul?
It was a good day. I will say that I'm a little bit tired, as I normally don't get up as early as I did, but as I told you, Cherry, it was bringing my dad to a follow-up appointment for his eye surgery he had yesterday. So I'm a little tired, and I just want to tell you, breaking news for Blues fans, it's going into overtime, tied 2-2, game one against San Jose.
Oh, dear. I tell you, this is going to be one of those nail-biting playoff seasons. Well, for everyone out there, I'm so excited about tonight's show. We will soon have Coach Wade joining us with a very, very special treat in store for us tonight. He's going to be having his Susanville Youth Orchestra or Symphony playing live for us tonight, and the song that they're going to play will be Dragon Slayer. So I'm just so excited that he's bringing this to us, and
yeah,
from what I understand, they're excited to play it for us as well. So,
yeah, so it'll be Coach, and I'm just going to wild guess, and about 50 guests of his or something.
I don't know how many are in the Susanville Youth Symphony, but I can't wait to hear them. I'm just so excited that he's allowing us to to hear his youth symphony and participate in something so near and dear to him.
Letting
us into this little portion of his, you know, private life, and I'm
just
so excited that he's
world.
Bringing this to us. Yeah.
Hey,
so.
I wondered, because I know that he has composed some things, that Coach Wade, that is. I did a couple weeks ago do some searching, and this is a piece that was composed by Rob Grice, G-R-I-C-E, Dragon Slayer by Rob Grice. So how fitting that he found a composition that he could have his symphony play. That is got his namesake to it. You know what I mean?
I know. It's going to be so much fun to actually hear, you know, what the symphony sounds like and hear these kids. And, you know, I think it's so great that he, you know, takes the time out to work with these kids and teach them, you know, all the knowledge that he knows. He was a prodigy when he was a kid.
Yep.
And
yep.
For him to pass that on and help these kids, you know, become musicians and carry them along, I just think is just the best thing in the world. Of course, I always have appreciated music with everything in me. I was never able to read a note or play an instrument. So I have a great, great appreciation for it, because
I was never
able to do any of that, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I was fortunate enough. My parents believed that we should learn music. Both my sister before me was taught piano, and as I got older, I took piano lessons. And after several years of piano lessons, I decided I wanted to get in a band, and I ended up playing for a very short time the cornet, which is kind of like a trumpet, and then I settled in and played the trombone for probably about 5 years before I had other interests. So I do have appreciation for music. I have a 11-second clip of Coach just, I found this on YouTube, a music company donated a trumpet, and he picked it up and just rattled off a little bit of his own. So right now I'm going to play it. This is actually Coach, and anybody that appreciates music can hear the talent he has. I don't know. Do you recognize that phone number on the switchboard, sweetie?
I
do. Could that be, or should I
that
scream?
That is.
The youth orchestra can hear you.
Welcome, Coach Wade, to Dragon Slayer Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing? As promised, I have a very special surprise for everybody in the audience tonight. I have my youth orchestra waiting right now. They have their instruments in their hands. They have been prepped. We have rehearsed it tonight. And we're going to start off Dragon Slayer Radio tonight with the Susanville Symphony Youth Orchestra playing none other than a piece entitled Dragon Slayer. You guys ready?
Are you asking
you
us
guys
for
ready?
Your... Yes,
we are
ready.
Ready.
Welcome, Youth Symphony. We're so excited. Hit it.
Okay, is the youth orchestra ready? Okay,
all
here
right,
we go.
Guys.
Hold on. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Appreciate them so much playing for us.
Okay,
yes,
I'll tell them that.
Phil, you Symphony, thank you from the Rad Reality Show. We loved it.
Okay, all right, I'll talk to you guys in a second.
Thank
okay.
you. That was great.
I am so happy for them. You could just tell that they were tickled to do that.
I'm just so impressed that I mean, that's quite a lengthy little song there, and it sounded like, you know, they all had their little, you know, sort of individual parts, and what a great thing for him to call in and allow us to be part of that. I'm just so thrilled.
That was an amazing idea that he came up with a few weeks back, and you could even tell Coach when he suggested it, and he said he mentioned it to the group how excited they were to do it, and we finally got that chance, and that was so much fun, and I can just imagine how excited they are.
I agree that I hope, you know, maybe we can, you know, hear another one sometime, again, another song that they do. I just think it's so cool that he does this with the kids. I'm just thrilled that we got to hear Dragon Slayer by the Susanville Youth Symphony. That was amazing. What I wonder what age these kids are. I think it ranges from very young on up, and I'm certain that it's quite difficult to teach, you know, some of the younger ones to play some of these difficult songs.
Yes, I will say this, from doing my search of that composition, it was a composition that was meant to be simple enough for, you know, early musicians, you know, not the seasoned ones, but Rob Grice, you know, composed it for those symphonies that are, you know, just starting out, if you will, and are maybe a little less experienced, but they still have to, you know, they have to perform it correctly, and it sounded great to me.
Yes, they were just so good. I'm so thrilled that we got to hear that. That was something that this entire week I've been looking forward to, and it was just one of those anticipation things that you just, you know, think about, you know, okay, it's Monday, okay, it's Tuesday, you know, I can't wait for the Thursday to roll
exactly.
around, you know.
Say, I don't want you, in case you're not
following the chat room to miss what Boom Boom.
Yeah, he called me and told me. I have it all written down. And
okay, all right.
Ben and I had already talked about it before the show.
Survivor Tiki Hutch. Hey, Brenda. Survivor Tiki Hutch. I love that chat name.
Where Ben lives, they have had a terrible, terrible shooting. It's still unfolding there. They have a number of police officers injured. I believe 3 or 4 police officers are injured. A police chief has perished.
Oh,
and
my.
The assailants are still on the loose. So we are going to, at the end of the show, and we can right now ask for everyone to, you know, keep them in your prayers. And I did talk to Bill Reynolds today on the phone, and I'll have an update on him as well at the end of the show. So,
well, our thoughts and prayers are with them. That's just awful news to hear. I knew nothing about this till you shared with us, Jerry, and that's just terrible.
I know, it's very scary. And it looks like we have our Coach Wade back with us.
I am back with you guys. How you doing?
Hi, Coach. Thank you so much. That was absolutely delightful. I am just so thrilled that you thought to do that for us. Thank you so much.
Not only for us, but for all your Youth Symphony. And we were chatting, and I know you told us earlier, you know, several weeks ago, the age range, but what is the predominant age of your Youth Symphony?
Coach, are you with us? I wonder if he hit mute on his phone.
I thought for a second I was worried that it was my connection, because I was worried earlier when I came on, remember, Jerry, and I thought, uh-oh, it's me.
Yeah,
but,
can you guys hear me right now or not?
Yes, we can hear you now.
When I put you on Bluetooth, it's not going. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys can't hear me when I put it on Bluetooth, can you?
Nope.
Okay, well, anyway, yeah, so the average age of the symphony is like 12, 13 years old. And tonight, actually, I got to tell you that we had an award ceremony tonight at a middle school, and so half of our orchestra wasn't there. So I told everybody that was there, I was like, you guys have to play your guts out. You got to play as loud as possible. So anyway, I wanted to say that they really love doing that. We started out rehearsal tonight. You know, any time that you have a goal for people, right? I mean, they're obviously going to perform better. And so at the beginning of rehearsal, everybody showed up like, hey, it's going to be, you know, ho-hum. And I said, remember, tonight we're playing live, you know, all across the nation for Dragon Slayer Radio. So they got really excited. So we practiced it. And then we also, you know, they were really excited when we performed at the end. They actually, I've got this French horn player, and she's a really good French horn player. And she came up to me afterward, and she said, hey, Coach, can we please play another piece next time? And I was like, absolutely, we'll play something else next time. So they were really cute about it. They really enjoyed doing it.
Hey, Coach, I did some research a couple weeks ago and found that is a composition, because I was even thinking that maybe you had written it, but it was from Rob Grice. And I did find several YouTube videos, and I did notice that a few of them use a gong at the beginning. I was curious if that's an optional thing, or do you even have a gong? Because those can be pricey, right?
Yeah, no, we've got a gong, and we've got a girl that plays it, but she was part of the award ceremony tonight, so she was not back there playing the gong.
Well, I hope they heard us. We were so tickled that they played that, and they did a great job. And I think I did hear your French horn player come through as well. And you can tell her that I have a little musical experience. I was in the band for about 5 years, played trombone. also for 1 year in the orchestra. So I do have an ear for it, and I thought it was exceptional.
Awesome. You know, they really enjoyed doing it, and it was it's something that, you know, we like. I don't know. We like doing it. I like the applause at the end that you gave us because they all heard that. And I had gotten speakerphone, so it was cool that, you know, I was sitting there conducting it, and halfway through I was like, I wonder if the speakerphone's even picking this up. So it was cool. I'm glad we could do it for you.
Yeah, I didn't know when I decided to play that applause clip. I thought, to myself, I was thinking, I hope he's on speakerphone, they can hear it.
There you go. So, there's a couple of things to talk about before we get, you know, before we really get going. I have been in contact with CBS, and I have asked them to put us in the queue. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, I told them to put us in the queue. It's too late for this year, but I want to start interviewing survivors when they get voted off. And there's a long list of media that wants to, you know, get in on that. But because of my status and good favor and good standing with CBS, I think for next year, for the next season of Dragon Slayer Radio, that we're going to be able to interview the cast members that got voted off the night before or maybe the week before. So I just wanted to prep the audience about that.
Cool.
That's amazing.
I almost want to play the applause clip again.
Hey, you guys know that when I do something, I want to do it big. So then the second thing to talk about tonight is I want to talk about the special guest that we have coming on tonight. You know that I try to have a special guest coming on all the time, right?
Right.
I try to have surprises going on every week, right?
Oh, you're driving
right?
me nuts.
So we have a very special guest tonight, and we're going to talk about this week's Survivor, but before we get to that, we're going to kind of blow the lid off of Survivor 23, and I want to just kind of prep you for this.
My goodness.
We have somebody that's going to be a special guest tonight. And I will tell you this, that without this individual, Coach would not have gotten to the final three. I probably would have gotten voted out pre-merge, or maybe right after the merge. This individual will be calling from a 786 number, by the way, for the switchboard. Don't put them on yet. But we have so much in common. My game was validated. This individual had probably the most underrated game in Survivor history. It was, in my opinion, the most influential player besides myself, but equal to myself, in Survivor 23. He is a baseball coach. He is a dating coach. He resides in Florida. Coach Albert Estrada is going to be in the house tonight.
Albert?
Yep.
Cool.
Wow. You
yeah,
are
Albert, my
always
final three
full
companion.
Of surprises, Coach.
Coach,
listen,
Coach,
we're going to have a... What?
No, I was going to say, when you say one of the most underrated players, does that always come down to editing?
It comes down... I mean, listen, here's the thing, right? You could go out there and blow the lid off of the entire season, and if it's not shown, it's not shown, and all of America, you know, they think that, you know, all of America thinks that they're not, you know, that they were a nobody. I mean, think about it. This season going on right now, we have no idea what's going on, really. We really don't have an idea what's going on. When Troy Zan votes with the girls last night, and Troy Zan annoys everybody, and yet he's still out there, there's stuff going on that we don't see of Troy Zan and Tarzan and everybody else, for that matter, that are playing smarter games than we give them credit for. There are people out there that are playing stupider games than we give them credit for, and it's just all part of editing.
Oh, I definitely agree. I was sort of surprised to see Tarzan voting Jay out because he was so, you know, gung-ho about keeping the guys together. And
right. You know,
yet
the,
you see
yeah,
him
the, you know,
voting
he,
for
he
Jay.
Really, yeah, he really, you know, that we got to get to that episode later. Is Albert on the line yet, or is he not on the line yet?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm prepping for Albert Distraught, of course, who was the final three in Survivor 23, Redemption Island. Played the game with me from start to finish. We made just about every decision together, voted the same way on every single decision except for the one time where he wanted Michaela to stay and I wanted Edna to stay. And fortunately, I was able to, you know, finagle my way and keep Edna with me, which was obviously good for my game and good for my game in the end. But Albert Distrada was just really, you know, the athlete, the strategizer. He had a lot of things, you know. One of the things is I have coming in to this game, you know, if you look at it kind of in the legendary characters that I like to go with, where you have wizards and warriors and all that kind of stuff, you have to surround yourself with different people, right? When I look at this season and I look at those five and six people that I crafted to form that unbreakable alliance from day one, you have to have a fighter, and that fighter was Albert, and you've got to have a mage, and the mage was Sophie, and you've got to have, you know, a pawn. And when I say a pawn, I'm not saying that they were dispensable, but somebody that you know that would do the business and would do the work, and that was Edna and Rick. And you have to have a bard, and that was Brandon, you know, the guy that's always telling the stories, that's kind of keeping the attention off of the true wizard that's kind of manipulating things beyond the, you know, behind the background. That was kind of me. But, you know, this alliance just had everything in it. But when you look at Albert, you look at somebody that was a mage, and he was a fighter, and he was a bard, and he was kind of all of those things rolled into one. And that's why, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have him on the show, because he was just a great character that I think that was very, you know, undervalued, so to speak.
Right, I agree. Everything you say now, looking back on it, makes so much sense. You know, as you talk about all of the people and the places and the pieces that they fit into, you can see how everything made such sense and they all fit in their roles. It just...
Right, yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Envision it,
they
all makes sense.
Yep, and that's part of the problem with this season is that you really don't, you know, like if I were to say, let's say that the roles of Survivor and the roles of life, you know, you fall into those categories, right? And you always have. Think about any board that you've been on or any group that you've worked with. You've always had that bard, storyteller, person that, you know, is usually pretty vocal, but sometimes they don't have a lot of substance. And you have the person that's, you know, the fighter that's out there on the front line sticking their neck out. You always have those different categories, I think. And it's fun to put survivalists and survivor contestants into that category. So if I were to, I will say a name for you from this season, and I want both of you to put that person in one of those categories that I mentioned. And if you can't fit them into one of those categories that I mentioned, then say so. Does that sound like a fun game to play?
Sure.
Yes, Jerry, tell me, is that a fun game? Come on, talk to me, guys.
Sure. We
okay,
have
so,
Albert
and
on
when
the Discord now if you'd like to bring him up and get involved in this.
Oh, is Albert already on?
I can bring him on if you'd like.
Yes, please bring him on.
Okay. Albert, thank you so much for calling in to Dragon Slayer Radio.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're great.
Albert, what's happening, man?
Coach Wade, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Coach Distrada, this is two for two, man. Two nights in a row, you got to love it, right?
It's a beautiful thing. I like it. We're getting a roll going. I'm on board with this.
I love it. So, listen, I prepped the audience, and I just wanted to start out. I'm going to just ask you a few questions. Please answer them as honestly as possible, sir. But I just want to just get the audience caught up with your game. I've gone on record many times as saying Albert was the most underrated player in Survivor 23. He was the total package. He was the fighter. He was the mage. He was the strategical player. He was the you know, the bard at times telling stories. He really was, you know, you really were the complete package. I've said that. I've told people that, you know, I don't think that without you, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have made it to the merge. And if I made it to the merge, I probably would have gotten voted off first. The fact that we validated each other's games, but maybe even more importantly, you validated my game more than I validated your game, I think, until we got into it. And then after we got into it, then we both validated our games together. Would you agree with that?
Certainly, man. I think it's a really, really fair and honest assessment. And I appreciate the kind words, man. To be real honest with you guys, I have to admit, you know, just, you know, being out there with Coach, getting to know him those first few days and, you know, really quickly starting to break down the preconceived notions I had of, you know, who I thought Coach was from seeing him play a couple times and really starting to understand the person he really was. I went ahead and I did something I never thought I would do, and I kind of put my my neck out on the line for him. I remember early on, this is when our tribe was still intact before Christine had even had been the first person eliminated from UPOLU. I remember making a statement saying, you know, Coach, I got that guy's back. And I told Christine, I told Stacey and a couple others because there was, you know, there was some dissension and there was a kind of a line that was being drawn within the tribe. And I made it pretty clear. I said, you know, this guy's got my back. And if you guys have a problem with that, you got a problem with me. And my whole goal was to come in and, you know, be non-abrasive, kind of go with the flow, because you know, usually in Survivor, if nobody ever wants to vote off early the unopinionated person who's just there to contribute and is going to help you guys in challenges. But you know, I really felt like I had a really good vibe going early on with Coach. I felt like there was a group of us that came together. That you know, it was originally a plan of mine. I wanted to get a solid group together, and I really couldn't have imagined it, you know, working out any better for me and for Coach in terms of how we were able to, you know, to get this group together and just keep them solid all the way through the game.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I think that I want to back up just a little bit. So day one, Coach comes out to the playing field in the helicopter, and when I stepped onto the tarmac, one of the very first things that Christine said, she was the 40-year-old mom from New York that was on our tribe, and the first thing she said is, oh, you know, the Dragon Warrior, he's, I think she's been watching too much Kung Fu Panda, but it was Dragon Slayer there, young lady. No, anyway, so she said, hey, these guys are temporary players, and it really kind of marked that first episode, and when we got back to the beach, I was just saying, look, I'm not a threat, just keep me as long as possible, and when I first got to the beach, I really thought, you know, hey, this is going to be a short-lived game for me. And when Albert said, hey, I'm a baseball coach, my eyes lit up, and I really got excited. And it's true. You know, there was this dissension in camp. Albert, do you remember when it was over, what the dissension in camp was over?
I remember, you know, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that moment when you guys first stepped off the helicopter. It started even before you were off the helicopter. You know, I'm not even sure if I ever shared this with you, but when that helicopter was landing and you and Ozzy were in it, and none of us had even spoken yet. We just rode in. We hadn't even introduced ourselves to each other. We just got on these mats, and boom, there's Jeff Probst right in front of us. I look to my right, and there's the Savai tribe, and you know, there's still that, you know, that feeling of butterflies. And before I can even get my feet under me, all of a sudden Christine, who is, you know, standing right in front of me, turns around to Rick Nelson and myself and says, "Hey, whoever it is coming off that helicopter, they're done. They're the first one out. This is our game." And here I am. I'm kind of, I haven't even met this person. I'm just, you know, what am I going to say? No? So I just kind of nod along and think, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, uh-oh, you know, something's going to happen here. There's going to be a quick division that's going to occur. And, you know, ended up being Coach. And I think it was a couple days in when we first got settled. I think it was that night, it was the first night on the beach when the five of us, it was Sophie, Coach, Rick, Brandon, and myself got together that I think it became pretty evident, you know, which way our tribe was going to go.
And then when we got into camp, a couple of days later, Christine was running around, ticked off about something. I forgot what she was ticked off about, but she started running her mouth, and that was when, oh, you know what it was? We got together just kind of, I was just trying to, like, coach a little bit and just saying, hey, in the challenge, you know, we've got to make sure that we're unified, et cetera, et cetera. And when we broke up with that meeting, you said something, I said something, when we got done with that meeting, we kind of dispersed, and Christine was like talking to Stacy, and they were kind of mumbling under their breath, and you said, so that the whole tribe could hear that same thing, hey, if you've got a problem with Coach Wade, you got a problem with me. That was the polarizing moment of the first 20 days before the merge. You sang that, and everybody basically said, wow, we better get with the Coach Albert and Coach Wade train, because if we don't get on that train, we're probably going to get run over. And that was when the division happened between, Stacy and Christine and the rest of us. Wouldn't you agree, Albert?
Yeah, that's definitely the moment. And, you know, something, I never envisioned myself making a move like that early on, but I felt like it was something I needed to do. And it was pretty palpable that there was, you know, two sides that were growing pretty quickly. And I felt like just where we were, where we stood, I needed to kind of, you know, communicate that solidarity that was going to be there, because I just felt like if our tribe was smart and they wanted to advance, we had to keep, you know, myself and somebody like you and those stronger players. And, you know, it became pretty evident early on that was a pretty smart decision on our part, you know, going with that side, because it Coach is right. You know, people don't give him enough credit. He very quickly could have been on the wrong side. You know, if I was foolish enough to go with Christine and Stacy and some of these people that wanted to go a different direction early on, you know, we could have ended up imploding like what you saw on, you know, this current season on One World, where, you know, they voted off some of their stronger, more, you know, athletic and, you know, stronger players early on. And now it looks like, you know, what was originally the female tribe, Solani, is just going to absolutely dismantle the former male tribe of Monono.
Absolutely. So speaking about strong players, and Albert, it's just a little bit muffled when you're talking. So just if you could maybe just I want to be able to catch everything that you say, and so just maybe just a little bit more into the phone. But anyway, so speaking about strong players, most people don't know, but I nicknamed Albert early on after the first challenge, and I started calling him GW for game winner. And as we started getting into the swing of things, I got to tell you, right, let's go back to that first day on the mat. I'm looking at the Savai'i tribe, and I'm looking at your tribe, and I'm thinking, Albert is an athlete, and that's all they got. And Savai'i tribe looks like a bunch of gamers, plus they got Ozzy. When we left the beach that first day, every producer on Survivor and the Mark Burnett staff said, holy crap, Ozzy's tribe is going to wipe the face of Coach's tribe off the map. I know they thought that, and they thought Ozzy's team was just going to decimate us one by one, but what really happened is we unified ourselves, and Albert competed in every challenge, in the toughest parts of the challenge. Every single challenge that we had, you have parts that nobody really wants to do. And we continually put Albert into shooting baskets, into running, you know, all the way out and wakeboarding back in the Jack and Jill challenge. And he was in those critical spots every step of the way. In fact, when you look at the Jack and Jill challenge, which is where we ran out with the wakeboard, got a bag of puzzle pieces, and then were towed back with that big crank, and Albert comes all the way back to the shore. I remember before that challenge, we picked Albert and Sophie to do the puzzle pieces. And just to recap with the audience, this is when it was 6-6, and we figured this was the last challenge before the merge. This was absolutely do or die, that we needed to go to the merge, numbers up. And so Albert beforehand said to Sophie, okay, Sophie, I'm really bad with puzzles. If we get to the puzzles, you're going to have to do it all. Well, what happened was when they got to the puzzles, we had a narrow lead. Albert literally was like, single-handedly, no, I got this, and he put all the puzzle pieces up. And really, he was the critical player in each one of the challenges. And so we really saw him carry the tribe to the merge, and we got numbers up when we went to the merge, a large part because of Albert dominating in those challenges. Would you like to comment on that at all, Albert, or did I just basically say it all?
Man, you said it pretty well, man, and I do have to second what you said. Man, I'll be really honest with you guys. I was spooked. When I saw our tribe and I looked over at their tribe, I really thought, it was pretty evident that we were considerable underdogs in most challenges. I mean, you know, they started with five, you know, male players. We started with four. You know, they have Ozzy, who's got this reputation as challenge dominator. They got just, I mean, you just look at us just by the eyeball test. You know, they look like they were in better shape, just, you know, younger, more athletic. And to our credit, you know, we were able to really keep with them toe to toe. We was back and forth. Coach, you know, coach likes to pass along a lot of the credit, but you know, people don't realize before each challenge, what you do is Jeff introduces the challenge, and then each tribe kind of walks through the challenge each step, you know, one tribe at a time with Jeff, and then you have a moment to strategize where you can kind of really designate roles. And coach is great, man. He was really, I mean, he did something that you normally, it's a little bit of a hazardous job, which is assigning roles, because if you assign the wrong role and we lose a challenge because of that, guess who the target's going to be on? It's going to be on, you know, the guy who put together the game plan that didn't work. So, you know, coach didn't mind taking the reins on that.
Other people have said this before, but why don't you touch on, you really don't get that much time to strategize, do you?
No, it's actually really, really quick. You know, and you have to make decisions, and most people are a little hesitant. You know, like Coach said, there's always a part of each challenge that's the critical part that most people are going to want to shy away because, you know, if you say, hey, yeah, I want to step up and do the puzzle, and you drop the ball on that, you know, that's an easy, easy way to get voted off Survivor is, you know, be somebody who steps, says they want to do a hard part of a challenge and not do it. Coach wasn't bashful about, you know, putting the right people in the place, and I was never bashful about taking the hardest part. I didn't care. You know, I wasn't going to, you know, be to the point where I'm saying I have to do it, but, you know, if there was a hard part that, you know, nobody wanted to step up for it, I was ready to go. And I really do believe that in Survivor, what most people don't understand, pre-merge challenges are so much more important than post-merge. I really only think it's important to win an individual immunity challenge if you're specifically in danger of going home that night. Because if you're not,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say,
if you're not in danger and you start winning individual immunities, you become a guy like Ozzy, who anytime you don't win individual immunity, you're the first one to go because you put this gigantic target on your back. But winning challenges before the merge is huge because it gives you that numbers edge. It puts you in a good position to kind of run the game.
Okay.
Wow. Absolutely. I agree. You know, it's so critical to have that. You know, the people that are in the right places, and you have to get to a merge, numbers up because it gives you options. And even if you want to bail on your original alliance, which has been proven is the wrong strategy, Survivor 101, compliment the coach, get an alliance day one, stick with that alliance, you're going to make it to the end. And, you know, that's what we did. But during the challenges, you know, you have to have a cohesive group, and you have to have a group that listens to instructions, and you got to have people that are ready to do the job no matter what, and that's what we had, and that's why we ended up beating, as you said, Albert, a tribe of underdogs like ourselves consistently beat Ozzy's tribe, you know, in the long run. And it was really gratifying. So moving on.
No, I'm sorry, Coach. I thought you were done. I was just curious. We did see one clip of the group of you praying together ahead of the challenges. Did you do that prior to every challenge?
Probably most of the time, yes. I would say not necessarily at the challenge scene. A lot of times we'd actually ask if we could do a prayer before we left camp, or sometimes in the tent that they set up for you before you go out there for the actual challenge. That was just a theme for us that a lot of us found common ground. It was reassuring for us, and really together as a unit really is kind of a team out there. You're scared out there, man. I was scared senseless going in that Jack and Jill challenge that Coach mentioned. You know, they put the onus on me. They said, you know, you guys got to solve this puzzle. And I knew that wasn't one of my personal strengths. But, you know, when we got together and, you know, we believed in one another and Coach put confidence in myself and Sophie to go out and do it, man, you know, it's really gratifying when you come through for your team.
I can't. We have a couple of callers on the switchboard. Would you guys mind taking a couple calls?
Yeah, we'll take a couple of calls, and then I want to get Albert's thoughts on the current season. So let's take a couple of quick calls.
Okay. Jerry, thank you so much for waiting for so long. Thank you. You're on the air with Dragon Slayer Radio and Coach
Dog.
Wade and Albert.
Hey, Coach. This is Dog up in Alturas.
Captain Dog, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, Albert, congratulations. When you guys started talking, I was writing down some notes, and I wrote down that Albert turned the tide on the challenges. This is before you said all the good things about him, Ben.
Yeah.
And then when you're talking about the editing is designed to leave facts on the cutting room floor. You agree there?
That's a good quote.
Yeah, and you said that you mentioned the word, Coach, unification. It is so important, and you had your tribal unification, and that was an absolute key to the success of the tribe going into the merge. And as far as the tribe's alliance, you also mentioned it. You got to know the strengths and the weaknesses of your members. And that's where all the unification and the working together comes. You and I have talked about this anyway over a lunch and stuff like that. But anyway,
yeah.
It's really good.
You know, I want to just, Captain Dog, let me just interrupt you there, and then I want you to think of a really good question for Albert. But I got to say this. When the two tribes met, and you talk about unification, when the two tribes met, Aussie's tribe and our tribe, it was like a bunch of scattered chicken tool shed, scared little mama's boys running around on Aussie's tribe. If you've ever seen a chicken with its head cut off, it runs and squawks like it's still moving forward, but it really has no direction. And with those headless chickens running into the rock wall, almost like a battering ram of Upolu, there was only one outcome, and everybody on Upolu knew what was going to happen, that we were going to completely decimate and obliterate and macerate the Savai'i tribe. But the funny thing was is that they didn't. They thought that they were moving forward as a unified mass. And Albert, correct me if I'm wrong, we knew going into the merge without a doubt that there was absolutely nothing that was going to dissuade us from accomplishing the mission at hand.
Yeah, I mean,
Albert, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You with me?
Yeah, hello.
Everybody's still there, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir, I'm here. Albert, it was pretty tough. Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, you were just breaking up. So what do you say it again?
Yeah, man, basically, it was pretty palpable, man, when we got to that point that, you know, there weren't any leaks on our side. You know, we really established a pretty unique bond and a pretty unique group. If you look at, you know, over the 28 seasons that had happened before ours, you know, the solidarity and, you know, like Coach, the unification we had was outstanding. I mean, you know, people would come to us, you know, and we already had, you know, various discussions back when we were on Upolu Beach about this is how we're going to handle anybody trying to intrude into our alliance. This is the way we're going to talk to them, and you know, Coach is right. It was incredibly obvious the difference between how Savai'i carried themselves just by looking at their shelter, just by looking at the way that they lived on their island compared to how we had. You know, we were a well-oiled machine over there. We, you know, everybody had a role. Everyone knew what they were doing, and there was just a lot of real, you know, it's not surprising with the amount of dissension that was over there that one of their tribes tribespeople ended up coming to our side. It was just something that was inevitable, given the way that, you know, their chosen leader Aussie had pretty much allowed them to go.
Absolutely, yep. I couldn't agree more. So, Captain Dog, do you have a question for Albert?
I got a thought and a question for him. You know, Albert, both of you guys are coaches, and I've seen Coach Wade deal with his orchestra. I've seen him deal with his soccer team, and I've seen him deal with the members of church. The guy is truly a teacher. He's truly a coach, and I assume with your background, you probably recognized some of that as you got along a few days into it. But I thought a very big turning point, I think it was probably on the very first day when you were together and making up your alliance. It could have been, but it was before the the first tribal. You guys, your alliance was standing around in a group. How much unification came to the tribe when you're asking everybody their background? And Sophie said she'd just gotten out of college and was majoring in this, but she minored in language, and notably Russian. And Coach talked to her in Russian, and Sophie responded. What kind of an impression did that make upon you?
It made a pretty great impression, actually, you know, knowing that, just being able to see, because, you know, what people don't, you know, see on television that plays a huge role is, you know, we're with, you know, the non-returnees on our season. We spend time together before the game starts. The only catch is we're not allowed to interact. You know, we can't talk to each other. You can't, you know, you're not allowed to communicate in any way. But you're around each other while they're giving us, you know, kind of, you know, showing us where we're going to be and whatnot. And we, you know, you start getting vibes from people really early on. You know, people like, you know, the people that were eliminated early on our tribe, Stacey and Christine, it was pretty clear that they were on their own page. They weren't looking there to be kind of open and go with, you know, with the group or anything like that. You know, when Sophie says, hey, you know, I was a student, I'm thinking, all right, so I was, you know, I'll just get a person myself. She seems like she has a good head on her shoulders. I respect people like that. And I think for Coach, it was a calming influence having somebody like me, because, you know, I don't know for him if he saw it this way, but I saw in him a lot of, you know, qualities that I see myself. Like, he's kind of a little bit of a version of myself that's lived a little bit more life. It's really crazy. I had a lot of confessionals that, like you said, you know, the editing room left the facts on the floor, but, you know, I had a lot of confessionals where I was just like, man, I'm just taken aback, because watching Coach play on Token Sheens and Heroes and Villains, never in a million years would I think I'm here and I am on an island with this guy, and not just playing with them and, you know, getting along, but kind of seeing myself in him and seeing that, you know, his demeanor, the way he deals with people, the way he kind of, you know, goes about his life is very similar to the way I kind of like try to operate. You know, he's a good guy. He likes to really, you know, impart his wisdom on people and lead people and give value to people. And at the same time, he's a fun-loving guy. He's, you know, he's funny, and he doesn't take himself too seriously anymore. Right, Coach?
Absolutely. I learned my lesson, man. I'm just a regular guy just trying to get by and not taking myself too seriously. I like, you know, I mean, and I got to make a point here I wasn't thinking about until you talked about your confessionals. Confessionals, everybody knows what confessional is. It's the one-on-ones that we all have with camera. The producers wanted nothing more than to pit Albert and I against each other, coaches against each other. And in almost every one of my confessionals, I was asked, Albert's taking over the reins. Albert's the driving force. Albert, is there competition between you and Albert? Is he not, you know, rising up to the challenge in challenges? Every single confessional. And I made sure that they left with the impression that Albert was winning challenges for us and that he was completely unified with myself. Would you agree with that, Albert?
Yeah, that kind of blew me away, because I wasn't as, you know, it's funny when you watch the show on television, and, you know, you got to think, you're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and Coach, in my mind's case, it was for 39 days, and you're getting a 45-minute snippet each week of, you know, 3 days of action. So you have in your mind how things actually went down, and then when you see the edit and you see how things are kind of painted and the narrative that they're telling, sometimes it's shocking. And, you know, a lot of the post-merge episodes basically made it seem, if I'm a casual viewer at home, I'm thinking, man, this Albert guy's really out to get Coach, and he's really trying to, you know, to turn on Coach, and Coach is trying to have a power struggle. And, you know, on the Michaela vote out, it was like, it looks like Albert and Coach are battling. When in reality, me and him were as thick as thieves, pretty much from the jump all the way through the end of the game. I mean, we really, Coach, we have one. Can you remember one instance where we really got into it at all, or had a, you know, falling out or anything like that? Because I really can't put my finger on one.
No, there wasn't anyone that we had a falling out. And in fact, when we went to that vote of Michaela, we voted the same way every time. We knew what the other was going to vote the entire way. When we went to the tribal council, when Albert wanted to keep Michaela and I wanted to keep Edna, and there was a minor rift in the tribe, we still respected each other enough going into tribal, knowing, I knew, Albert, that you were going to vote for Edna. You knew that I was going to vote for Michaela, and we knew that something was going to happen that night. And I understood your position. Michaela was going to be loyal to you and the alliance in that order, and Edna was going to be loyal to me and to the alliance in that order. So we both wanted those people to be around. We knew that something was going to happen, and we went in, you know, knowing and respecting that we agreed to disagree. Is that correct?
Oh, 100%. People don't realize, you know, the way that went down, I'm sure it was almost unprecedented, really, you know, in 23 seasons of Survivor. You know, we pretty much had kind of a gentleman's debate about it. We just really said, you know, this is my point. I gave my side. Coach, you know, explained his point. And we just came to an agreement. I mean, we realized at the end of the day, I wasn't going to stick my head out for somebody that wasn't really, really my core alliance person in Michaela. I thought she was the right person to keep at the time, but it's just like anything else. And in sports, you see it all the time. You know, I coach a baseball game tonight, and my pitching coach is calling a pitch, and I'm the head coach, and I want him to throw a curveball, and he wants to throw a fastball. You know, he's my pitching guy. So, you know, even if we disagree on a certain pitch, we're gonna you know, share each other's, you know, or have our own perspective on it. But at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt our relationship. We're just, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And, you know, Coach and I, we didn't necessarily have the same opinion on it, but it didn't really hurt our relationship or create a rift by any stretch of the imagination.
Good
yep,
point.
Exactly.
Hey, Dog, great
yeah.
questions, Dog. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey.
And we do have other questions if
yeah.
you want to say goodbye.
Yeah. Now, Paul, could I make one more comment about something that Albert just said?
You bet.
The 45-minute snippet of a 72-hour period.
Right.
I've watched every episode many times over of each season. And it comes to me that after meeting Coach, I told you last week when I first saw the first three episodes of Tokachin's, I thought that Coach was the most despicable SOB I'd ever seen or watched. But then I met him. Then I met him and saw the type of person he was, and that has given me such a completely different perspective of watching every episode of every Survivor since.
Good point.
And I really don't know what to believe anymore. And as I said before, and Coach knows this very well, in fact, in one of my application videos, I called him a noodle doodle. that if Lynn Spillman could cast this noodle doodle from Susanville, she could certainly afford to cast me. But that didn't make any waves with Lynn, I guess. But anyway, I'm a longtime applicant, and I will see you next week, Coach. And
thanks, Captain Dog.
I'd like to put in a plug for La Música de España, which is going to be held April 20th and 22nd in Susanville with the full-blown symphony orchestra. Susanville is the smallest community in the United States with a full-blown symphony orchestra. Anybody listening to this broadcast, if they will dial 530-257-2920, they can get some tickets for this performance.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much,
Terry,
Dog.
Take care.
I just have to take this opportunity of thanking you for last week. Coach, he filled in wonderfully for you when you were absent at Disneyland. So I just want to say thanks again, Dog.
Yes,
okay,
you
you're welcome. More than welcome, Paul.
Stories about you, Coach.
I know, that's funny. I can imagine.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. It's been wonderful talking with you again.
Okay, take care, guys. God bless you, Coach. And Albert,
thanks,
bye-bye.
You
thanks,
bye-bye.
Doug. Thanks.
Okay, and we do have another call that's been holding for quite some time. It's from Susanville, so I'm going to go ahead and take that one if you don't mind, Coach.
Okay, we'll take it.
Okay. Daniel from Susanville, thank you so much for holding for so long. You're live on Dragon Slayer Radio.
Hello, this is Daniel. Hi, Albert. Hi, Coach. How you doing?
Daniel, doing well.
What's happening,
bro?
What's happening, man?
Yeah, not much. I'm a big fan of both of you. Coach, I've got a question for you first. You've accomplished a lot in your lifetime. I just want to know what your biggest accomplishment is.
Wow, somebody's got a bad connection.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you've accomplished a lot in your lifetime. I just want to know what your biggest accomplishment is.
What do I want to accomplish from here?
What is your biggest accomplishment?
I'll tell you what my biggest accomplishment that I haven't done yet, and that's winning a national championship. And I better do that with my soccer team this upcoming fall, because we were as high as eighth in the nation this year, and we lost in the playoffs, and losing sucks. And we're going to go and win the national championship with this soccer team. Besides the movie 180, which was just a huge blockbuster smash, I want to win a national championship.
Okay, Albert, there was a lot of tension between you and Coach on the show. What do you think of him as a guy off the set?
Well, the tension on the show, like we mentioned earlier, man, a lot of it I think was a little bit made for TV. But Coach is a great dude, man, and Coach is a guy that I learned a lot from, and I had a great time, being out there with. I don't think my Survivor experience, to be honest with you, would have been as enjoyable if I didn't have Coach. Him and I, he was somebody that I can truly relate with. What's interesting, Daniel, is when you get out there, I'm from Miami. I have a baseball background. I I'm from my part of the world, so to speak. You get out there and you're with, rancher. I'm with a rancher from Utah, a doctor from California, a medical student from New York. You're with all these different people from all walk of life, and you're trying to just find just one little iota of something that you can relate with, some sort of common ground, and somebody that you can actually have a good connection with. And, for me and Coach, he was probably the person there that I had the best connection with. From my original tribe, when we got to the merge, I met, and Coach can tell you too. We met this kid Cochran, another great kid, not necessarily a similar background as us as athletes and that whole thing, but it's very hard to find in a random group of 18 people somebody that you actually can get along with as a person, or somebody you actually have a real good connection with in regular life. I had that with Coach, so it was a great thing for me.
Okay, well, Daniel, awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. We've really got to move along. Coach has to get going, so thank you so much for calling into the show tonight. We really, really appreciate it. Okay.
That's perfectly fine. I thought he had to go. I can see him in his car at the moment. So.
Thank you so much. Good
okay,
night.
Thank you.
So I want to just talk real quick about last night's episode and get Albert's take on it, and that way we can wrap up the show for tonight. I appreciate you being with us, Albert. I know you're taking a lot of time for the show. So let's just wrap up. I just want to talk about last night's episode and what are the thoughts that kind of strike you the most interesting about last night's episode.
Last night's episode, man, it was really it's really sad to see how the men on this season have really kind of just crumbled and just fallen apart. A player like Jay, who early on seemed like he was one of the more rational players, and even more so than rational, more aware. And that's, to me, that's one of the biggest skills you can have in the game of Survivor, is being aware. Know who's actually with you, who actually isn't with you, where the tide is turning. And he missed absolutely huge, huge red flags yesterday when he's having conversations with people and asking them, hey, we're going to vote this person off. And he's like, and I think it was Kat responds with, well, do I have another choice? And he's asking, asking about Troyzen. He's asking Kim, are you guys going to blindside Troyzen, who's his number one ally? And she tells him, well, if we did, would you tell him? I mean, these are huge red flags that he just was completely oblivious to. And, just kept chugging away, kept moving along, giving Kim information. And it's just sad to see that, these guys who really had, a really good opportunity to put themselves in a good position are just completely handing the game over to the women. To their credit, the women are outplaying the guys in every single way. I mean, they're strong, they're united, they're smarter than the guys. And, I'd be incredibly shocked if it's not three girls or two, at least two girls in the final.
And if we don't have a female winner this year, I'd be incredibly shocked just because they position themselves in a really good spot. And, you know, guys like Troyzan and you know, these guys, their days are counted right now.
Yeah, and, you know, you look back at the beginning of the season, and you look at the guys getting off to such a great start, and obviously Jay, he has been, I think, part of the problem with the guys' team because he comes off like he should be an alpha male, but, you know, I really feel like he underachieved this time around. And when you go back to their decision to go to tribal council and vote one of their own off just because Colton wanted to go after they'd won immunity, that never works. Anybody that has ever thrown it, you look at Survivor history, you look at Russell's season when he came back, Russell versus Rob, he came back and they threw a challenge to get Russell off. Did it bode well for the tribe in the long run? No, it was a disaster. Anytime anybody throws a challenge, or, I mean, in this case, asks for themselves to go to tribal council, it never is successful. So, you know, one of the things I thought that was interesting last night is that Jay gave up immunity to eat. I mean, can you be any more clueless than that? You really can't.
I know. And didn't he just eat the day? Didn't he win the reward challenge? I'm forgetting, but...
Yeah, and it's what's incredible about that, really, you know, let's compare, you know, this season to South Pacific. Let's say one of the people in our six-person alliance would have given up immunity to eat like we all did when we all sat out of a challenge. There's a reason we did that. You know, there was never one, I mean, Coach, we never had a blind side or anything close to it in our alliance, whereas in the alliance that Jay is putting the livelihood of it, they just had a person vote off the previous elimination. They had Michael, who, you know, by all intents and purposes, was supposed to be in that alliance, and girls voted him off, and he's still putting faith in these girls that they're not, you know, him or Troy or one of the other guys off next. And like Coach said, he's going to eat the chicken wings for $1 million. I mean, it's pretty incredible, and it's pretty mind-boggling when you really look at all the information he had in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say this. Watching your season, and CBS tried to edit to seem like you guys were going to go against each other, you know, vote out one of your own, if you will. It went episode after episode after episode, and I finally said, you know what? This is one of the strongest groups and alliances I've ever seen. They're never going to vote them out, and I don't care what you edit, CBS.
Yeah, we were part of the strongest. I think we were part of the strongest alliance that's ever played Survivor. You know, we went into the merge, basically numbers up. Ozzy came back. We were dead even at 6-6. Both Survive people won immunity. They had a hidden immunity idol. We completely were odds down going into that tribal. And if Cochran hadn't flipped, we were still going to vote unified and draw rocks. We definitely, I think, had the strongest alliance that we've ever seen on Survivor. It was unbreakable,
yeah.
Right, Albert?
And if you look at, and you know, and a lot of people like to point and say, you know, if anybody in the group was the dissenter, it might have been Albert in the merge. You know, what's interesting is the whole plot line early was, you know, Coach and Albert have this power struggle. But, you know, go back and, you know, rewatch an episode. There isn't one mention of me ever saying, hey, I'm going to make this move at Coach or against Coach, or, you know, I think we need to get Coach out of here, because it just didn't happen. There was never an instance where, you know, Coach or myself, there's never one time where him or myself, you know, in front of anybody else, to another player, to just the camera, ever say, hey, I'm going to, you know, I got to take this guy out. This guy's trouble. This guy's, you know, he's causing a problem for me. You know, even for me, who was a player who was trying to jockey himself to be in a good position to win, you know, my moves are always towards, you know, some kind of the outside players, the outliers. You know, maybe an Edna or somebody like that, or, you know, let's vote out Jim, or let's vote out Don instead of Jim. It was smaller moves to kind of improve my chances to win, but it was never anything that was going to cut to the core of my real alliance, which was, you know, what I established with Coach and what I, you know, what I had established early on in the game. So, you know, I think it's a pretty remarkable alliance. I think it's one that's going to change the game. I mean, the next season, boom, there you have a tribe swap. You know, for the seasons to come forward, I think they're going to try to put mechanisms in the game that prevent what happened with our tribes happen. Just because, you know, if people realize that that's the right, if there's an optimal way to play Survivor, I think it's the way that we played in Survivor South Pacific. It's establish 5 or 6 strong and carry that group through the game. And, you know, it's kind of an unstoppable force, man. And, you know, it may not make for the most exciting in terms of surprises week to week, but it's the best way to play the game, and it's the way that I think is really unbeatable.
Ladies and gentlemen, incredibly intelligent words from an incredibly talented young man. Coach DeStrada, Albert from Survivor 23, I want to thank you for being on Dragon Slayer Radio tonight.
Guys, it really was my pleasure, and again, I couldn't be more fortunate to play the game with a great guy like Coach. And Coach, keep on, man. My invitation is still open, brother. I'm still waiting for you to come down to the sunny skies of South Florida, man, and we'll come out and have a fun time.
I'm definitely for it, man. I didn't mean to bail on you with the first pitch of your first game, but a lot happened. Coach's wife in Coach's life getting married, all that kind of stuff. My life was kind of turned upside down. But listen, I'm gonna get there. We're gonna hang out, and I really appreciate you as a friend. I just want you to know that.
Likewise, nothing but the best for you and the fan. And I look forward to seeing you guys real soon.
Awesome. Hey, to all the fans out there, we appreciate you listening to Dragon Slayer Radio tonight. And Coach is signing off right now. We will talk to you guys next week.
Thank you so much, Coach. You have a great night. Albert, you are always welcome to call back in. If you have anything that you want to promote or you're doing in your life, you are always welcome to call back in and talk to us here on the show. We want you to know that you have an open invitation anytime to call back in, talk to us on any of our shows here on the Rad Reality Show on Dragon Slayer Radio. Please feel free to, you know, check in with us anytime. If you're doing anything in your life that you want to promote, you're always welcome here.
I really appreciate the invite, guys, and I look forward to taking you guys up on it. And, again, it's been my pleasure to be your guys' guest.
Well, thank you so much. We've enjoyed
Thanks,
it greatly.
Albert.
All right, take care, guys.
You take care and have a great night, Albert.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, Cherry, for those that are new to the show, we do schedule it for a longer show, but Coach, with all that he's doing, is only able to be on for 1 hour, so I thought maybe you'd like to remind people of that are listening in, Cherry.
Right. We do schedule for a little bit longer. They're both very busy people. We have some other things that we need to go over with you. We have some prayers that we want to ask everyone to be involved with. We have a regular visitor that comes to most of our shows. Most of you know him as Phil 53, Phil Reynolds. He's had 2 major surgeries in the recent weeks, and I spoke with him on the show on the phone today, and he is back home. He's sleeping most of the day because of his meds, and they're keeping him very sedated, but he is doing okay. He is very groggy and making it, but they have a drain in him, and he's, you know, not getting around very well. But we do want to ask that you keep him in your prayers. So please keep, you know, Phil in your thoughts and prayers. Also, we understand up where Ben lives in New Hampshire, there's been a major shooting with 4 officers down and a chief of police who was perished tonight. And we just want to keep those officers, their families, the chief of police who was perished, and his family in our thoughts and prayers as well, because they go out and give their lives for their communities each and every day. And it's very difficult for those officers to go out and face the difficulties they face every day. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers as well. And we would always like to invite you guys to call in and talk with us. We're always here to talk with you after Coach and his guests have left. If you have anything that you want to talk with us about, we're here for you. And we want to let you know that we do have the Amazing Race with Louis Stravato on Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and the Manic Monday show with Michelle Costa on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So we'd like to invite you to each of those shows as well. And I'm just so absolutely thrilled with tonight's show. I mean, Coach and his Youth Symphony from Susanville and bringing on Albert. I mean, what a surprise. I was blown away when he said he was going to have Albert on with us. I can't imagine a better guest to have on with Coach than Albert. What about you, Paul?
I totally agree. You know, Cherry, I always have questions, and it was so hard to refrain from jumping in, so you know, like I sometimes do, to ask it, because but Coach is really doing a great job at the I'm sorry, Cherry. I'd say I'm sorry, Cherry, because the Blues just lost.
Oh, my goodness.
Cherry is a huge St. Louis Blues hockey fan. I mean, she really is beyond a huge fan. At any rate, it was too short of a time. I always want Coach to be on longer,
I
always enjoy it.
I know. I just like you, I want to ask questions too, but we're here to allow, to facilitate other people to call in and ask questions. So we sort of have to sit back and hold our questions in and let them ask questions. But there's so many questions running through my head. And you know, I can just picture Coach out there, though, being that person that reads people so well to step up and take control of that tribe and be able to say, okay, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, this is your role, this is your role. He reads people so well.
And
he was able to take
it. I know you're – I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know the only sport you really watch is hockey, but you got to understand that successful coaches – do just that. They are able to evaluate, you know, their personnel and use their strengths. And I think that is an important part of being a coach.
Well, he certainly does it quite well, and he did it, you know, on the fly, and he put those people in the proper place. And I'm so glad that it didn't turn out in the manner in which, you know, Albert talked the way it could have gone, where, you know, he could have teamed up with Christina and some of the others, and they could have voted Coach out. And, you know, thinking back, you know, you could see that situation unfolding that way.
From the get-go, really.
Yeah, from the get-go. And I'm so glad that Albert did see Coach for the man that he is and teamed up with him, and everything did unfold in the way that it did. And I only wish they could have made it, you know, to the very end and won that whole thing. But I think that, you know, the season turned out so interesting. And
yes, it was a very entertaining
it was
season.
A great season. It was one of the better seasons of Survivor that I've ever seen, and this season is just the opposite.
Hey, Brandon,
this is just a tragedy.
Hold on a second, I need to address Brandon. You just have to hit one once. If you hit a second time, it takes you out of the queue. So when you push the one, the Blog Talk computer-generated lady will say, you are now in the host queue. If you push the one again, she will say, you're now out of the host queue. So that's what you want to listen for. So just a little bit of information for some of our chatters. And you did have some great questions. It just, we did not have the time to interrupt them and get them in. I was just, you know, enjoying the back and forth and the interview, basically, that Coach was doing with Albert. So I really did enjoy that.
Yes, and Coach does love to take calls from his fans. And he, you know, we will get you on next week, Brandon. Come back, and we will try to make sure that your priority next week and get your question on to Coach. I just, because you didn't press one, or I don't know if you pressed it twice or what, but we didn't know that you had a question. So those things happen, but Coach was sort of lacking in the amount of time he had this evening because of having a symphony on, and I'm so thankful he did that. Gosh,
that
what
fun.
A treat that was. What a treat that was.
Didn't get to, you know, sometimes on the Survivor show in the recap, we go, you know, over what the episode, you know, how it progressed in different competitions and everything like that. I just want to say, in case we run out of time and don't do it tonight, holy cow, my head was swimming before the tribal, Cherry.
Oh,
I mean,
know.
The conversations, let's vote this person, and then all of a sudden I added another one and another one and another one. My head was swimming, and first time I've ever watched and gone to tribal where I thought, where the hell are all these votes going to go? Are they?
I know. Oh. I took 4 pages of notes tonight and didn't use a word of them tonight on the show. But that's okay. We had the best show we could have tonight. I'm so, so happy with tonight's show. I was not sure where the votes were going to land on last night's show either. I was so confused when they went to tribal. I had no idea how it was going to pan out. And I have to hand it to Kim. She certainly read things well. And she played. I was worried at first when
I almost
Troyzan played
out.
His idol,
yep.
And she didn't.
I was worried,
thinking, uh-oh, you know, she might get voted out. And thank goodness she had it all under control. And she knew exactly what was coming down, and she had it all laid out.
Yeah,
and,
but she is going to progressively have a target.
Right.
As much
well,
as
she's
trying
she's
not
laid
to.
She's laid her hand down on the table now, and
yeah.
Everyone knows exactly what card she held, and her hand is showing now. And Brandon, I saw that at the very end, too. I was wondering why Tarzan voted for Jay when he was so for keeping all the guys together.
Here is my speculation, Cherry, because that threw me for a loop, too, and I got to thinking a little bit about it. Troyzan told, I believe he told Jay that he had the immunity idol. Jay then goes, and I think it was Karen, who he basically said he does have it, and that confirmed it. I'm guessing the conversations, you know, went to that. I don't know. That really did throw me, and I still don't have any clear answer in my head why that happened.
He was so about keeping all the guys together, and when I saw him hold up his parchment paper and he had Jay's name on it, I was just blown away. I was like, what?
Leaf had Jay's name too, I believe. Leaf as well, another guy.
Right, but he wasn't so adamant about keeping
the
guys together as Tarzan was.
That's true.
So I could understand Leaf being, you know, swayed, but Tarzan was so adamant about keeping the guys together, and
it's afoot. It's afoot.
Yeah, the game's afoot. So it's going to be interesting to find out in next week's show. I hope, you know, we hear a little bit about why that took place and what his thoughts were. They're giving him a little bit more airtime and showing him as, I think, a little bit more of a thinking player now than just a guy with dirty underwear.
Oh, geez, the underwear again during the bolo competition that he was in. Oh, my. Hey, this to me, and I told you I put this clip up there, and it's a short clip, but this to me really wrapped up the whole night on Survivor when Jeff Probst said this.
Well, given that nearly half of you received votes tonight, if there wasn't a reason to be paranoid before, there certainly is now. Grab your torches, head back to camp. Good night.
Boy, that's
true. My goodness.
Only three people raised their hands when he asked the question, how many of you feel that you might, you know, be, you know, voted out tonight?
I forget
exactly how he asked the question, but three people?
I know. I am looking forward to next week's, because there is going to be a lot of scrambling tried, and it looks like the guys are, you know, going to try, and I don't know. Now that it's that lopsided 6-3, I unless they can convince one of the ladies that you're number six of the six, you know, which is always the way to go, you know. But I am certainly looking forward to next week's episode.
Right. Well, you know, this season has kind of been, it's not been one of my favorite seasons so far of Survivor, but now it seems to be getting a little more interesting. And
about time.
My anticipation level has shot up very high for this next episode. And as the weeks progress now, I'm getting more and more excited for each episode of Survivor. So they're finally getting me excited. You know, there for a while, it just seemed like this season they just seem to be playing such a dumb game.
Well, especially the guys, and that's what Albert pointed out, and Coach had previously pointed that out in previous shows. It's really, as a guy, I'm disappointed, and I'm all on the side of the women now.
Yeah, and then it's going to be interesting to see how the women, you know, turn on each other, or if any of the women jump over and try to make an alliance with the guys and try to scramble because they feel like they're at the bottom of the women's alliance.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out. I don't know if it would have to be someone like Alicia, I would think, would maybe be the only one I could see that would maybe jump over to the guys, and or maybe Kat, I don't know, might
Kat
jump over
is,
to.
Kat is finally, in this last episode, sounded like she has her head in the game and is a little more intelligent than she'd been portrayed for a while.
I agree. She's finally, we're seeing the better side of Kat, where she's actually getting a better edit, and we're seeing her personality shine through more now.
Did you see, Brandon, if Colton was still in the game, Kim would probably be gone or near gone. I think that's a real possibility. And that's as much as he was such a polarizing, I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, person on the show, he certainly did bring an entertainment value to it. And it would have been interesting to see the dynamic he would have had once they merged. That is the key. Once they merge, where would Colton have been, you know, standing power-wise?
Right. Yeah, who knows where the game would be if Colton was still, that just boggles my brain to think, you know, if Colton was still in the game, what it would look like today, because he was such a dynamic player, and they would have had to have scrambled to try to get him out in some way. But he had the idol, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Um, anyway, I just want to take this opportunity, as we have a little pause there, to switch reality shows and wish a very happy and youthful 50th birthday to Big Brother's Sheila Kennedy.
You beat me to it.
I know. I just was there was a pause there, Jerry, and I know you were going to bring it up and you'd written it down, but we had a pause and I was looking for something to fill that pause with. So I apologize for stealing your thunder.
That's okay. Well, let's bring up someone who we talk to quite often. Chi-Town Joe, thank you so much for calling in. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just going to say a couple of things. The Bruins won. The Bulls in overtime beat the Heat. So now we got the Central Division, and the Blackhawks are winning in the second period.
Well, you know how happy Ron would be.
Yes. So it's a pretty good day. And just so you know for sure, I just got a little note that our dear Michelle Costa has landed in Temecula. She is at the hotel.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that
she got here.
Temecula safe and sound.
Yes. I'm very happy myself for her. This thing in New Hampshire is still going on. I've been on the phone with several of our mutual friends, and they're still shooting it out. And,
wow.
And it's a shame the chief perished because he was a week away from retirement.
Oh, my gosh, that breaks my heart in two.
Yeah, it was a shame. And Ben has been very good on the page. He even put up the guy's picture and put his address up.
He's a
steroid seller, I guess. And, you know, and when you get all hooked up with that kind of stuff, you know. But what can I tell you? But it's absolutely terrible. So, yeah, it's nice. It's Sheila's 50th birthday. I sent her a really nice card.
We want to all wish Miss Sheila Kennedy a happy 50th, and she certainly doesn't look 50
no.
at all. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. She takes very good care of herself, and she's just a doll. So, happy birthday, Sheila.
It surprised me. Go ahead. You know, because she has a beautiful picture up there today with Dan, and Dan looks great, you know.
I love my man Dan. I talked to him last night.
Say again?
I just talked to him last night. I talk to Dan all the time. He's just one of my favorite people in the world.
And for those that know him as Big John, how's he doing?
He's doing fairly well.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment that for those that may not remember, and I'm sure the Big Brother fans do remember, 4 years ago, Sheila was head of household and had a birthday celebration in the Big Brother house, and it brought back memories when I found my clip of her and getting her the letters from her son, who she dearly missed, in the house, and her mom, and it was just good to bring back those memories.
Season 9, the only winter season of Big Brother.
Yep.
Yes, one of the few. Speaking about Big Brother, Paul, you, I think, and I are the only ones that are about to follow Africa, right? Or were you following Australia?
I am an Australian person. The Africa is, I've seen clips many years ago, and they weren't speaking English. Of course, they possibly could.
They will be speaking English this year.
Okay. But I actually, real quick, tell a story about doing Australia. Big Brother 8 had just ended, and I saw on a posting on a message board that Australia was beginning, and I thought, oh, let me see if I can find that. I was able to sign up for the Australian feeds, It was Big Brother 8 season for Australia.
Sure.
And they are 13 hours ahead of me.
I watched
for the whole show of Australia, and it was like 3 months. Just as that was ending, I was watching the winter season, Big Brother 9,
Right.
And just as the winter season ended, I ended up watching Australia. Australia ended just as BB9 started up. So I was going for like a full year nonstop of watching
BB.
Feed from Big Brother.
Yeah, isn't that something? Well, did you see that they are not going to do Big Brother Australia until after the Summer Olympics?
Okay, no, I know they brought it back. It's been off the air for like about 4 years. They canceled it during that season. They actually canceled Big Brother Australia, and people were upset about it. They do crazy stuff, though. They have broadcast TV shows nearly every single night. They do a lot of live. It's just a different dynamic, and really got interested. And it was so disappointing when they said that they were ending it, as were a lot of the Australian fans. And just recently, within the last 6 months or so, another TV station picked them up and said that they were going to start it up again. And I keep checking. They've got a Facebook page, and they have your face on their page. they have auditions going on, but I've never seen them actually say when they're going to start. So it's good that you brought that up, because.
Yeah, they said that in deference to the Olympics in London, that they would not start until after that. But Africa is going to start in 23 days, and it's 91 days long, and it will be entirely in English. And if you have
I might have to check that out.
I think they have a show that you might be able to watch, because it's like an hour every night, like a wrap up show of that day.
Right.
That might be easier for you.
Sure. Welcome back, Sherry. I saw that you were gone for a little bit.
We have two more callers now on our switchboard, Joe. So.
I'm going to go.
I want to thank you for informing us all about Big Brother Africa. It sounds really interesting, and I hope that I'm going to have the time to watch it, because I can't wait for Big Brother, so Big Brother Africa might hold me over for.
And real quick, Joe, before you leave, real quick, I finally got to listen to your show on Saturday.
I appreciate
all the shout-outs for our shows here on the Rad Reality Show. And quickly, just tell people what I'm speaking of.
I do a show every Saturday that's live across the nation and in Canada. And it's more of a musical show, and we talk about current events and stuff like that. It'll be hard this week because it comes out of Chicago and goes into New Hampshire and then it spreads all across the world, actually. I've been getting I put up music, and people are buying music in Australia now of these bands, and the bands are writing me. So, but anyways, it starts at 4:30 every Saturday on the East Coast, and it's live every hour, you know. So it's 4:30 on the East Coast, 3:30 Central, la da 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 da. And all you have to do is look up on Facebook and like the page Chi-Town Live. And you hit the you click the like, and you click the about, and the address is there, and you can listen into it.
Thanks so much.
And I appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Joe.
I do that all the time. I love you guys. So.
We appreciate all the shout-outs, and we want to support you as well. So thank you so much.
I do appreciate it. Let me get off the air so you can get off the air and have your friends, too.
Okay, thank you,
and I'm going to go watch some TV.
All right. You take care,
bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Doug, thank you so much for calling back in. You want to talk some more Survivor, huh?
Yeah. I I got off the line because I was somewhat concerned about what you'd said about the police officers and the police chief down there, which is only 100 miles south of where I live. And I went on trying to pick up the newspaper, see if they had any late breaking news, and I couldn't find anything.
It's in New Hampshire.
Oh,
you're in California.
Somebody in our chat room, Cherry, somebody in our chat room said there was a similar event happening somewhere in California. But we, Jerry, we were talking about an event that's ongoing in New Hampshire. So it's just ironic, if you will, that something is going on in your state.
Yeah, well, I hadn't heard about it yet, and I couldn't find anything locally or heard anything. We did have a tornado this morning. In mid-state, believe it or not.
Wow.
Around Stockton. But we've been, Coach in Susanville and I up here 100 miles north, we've been having snow flurries off and on today. And supposed to snow tonight. And my temperature must have gone up to almost a whopping 40 degrees today from about 24 last night. But that's the name of this area up here. But getting back to Survivor, last night's thing, I mean, you have hope. You know, when you start out the season, you look at the biographies and everything like that, and you pick a favorite. Well, my favorite going in this year was Courtney, the little motorcycle mechanic girl. And she broke her arm.
Yes.
And she was my favorite. So then I thought Kim had a shot, you know, a little sympathy thing because she just went through a marital breakup or something like that. But then again, I have a friend who has been at interviews with SEG, you know, for Survivor. And he happened to be at an interview that Tarzan was at, Greg. Plastic surgeon. He says, don't sell him short. And he's certainly not getting an edit where you can do anything but sell him short.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. But the men, I just wrote down some notes right after I called in tonight, or first time in the waiting. The men are just lame on this season.
Oh.
And, of course, again, we get back to the editing. I've talked with Coach about editing and have a much greater understanding of it. And even Albert alluded to it tonight. You know, we see a 45-minute snippet, maybe 45 minutes, of a 72-hour period. And then I came back and said, you know, there's so much fact that's on the cutting room floor during the edit. But you got 39 days. You're with people that you don't know. And they cast to create conflict. And 39 days. So you have trust or not to trust. What are you going to do? Trust or not to trust? You got to trust, and yet you can't believe anybody. It's so full of misdirection. This is a game. Sports are a game. In basketball, or volleyball, a catcher giving a signal to a pitcher. You know, Albert said he wanted the guy to throw a curveball, the guy wanted to throw a fastball.
Right.
It's deceit. It's misdirection.
But what Albert also said was he was disappointed that Jay, for instance, was not picking up on the signals, the red flags. You've got to be aware of those red flags. That's the only way you can figure out what's going on. And it's not a 100% surety, but, you know.
That's right. And misdirection, I have two key phrases. One is misdirection. Should I ever get on, I'm going to be so full of misdirection, but I'm also going to follow it up with expect the unexpected. And you got to be willing to change your horse in the middle of a stream.
Excuse me, I don't remember asking you, but are you a Big Brother fan?
No, I'm not.
That is a common phrase that has been part of Big Brother for years and years and years.
Expect the unexpected?
Yes, that's their motto.
Oh, I started using that back during the Fiji season with Survivor, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was, that was Big Brother 8, where they, and I'd never seen it before. In fact, I don't think I've ever watched a Big Brother episode. I watched about 10 minutes of it once, and I have a daughter who applied for it. And
Really?
Yeah. and she's a professional person, you know, in entertainment. So.
Wow.
And she applied for it, and she's a looker. So, you know, and I don't know. But anyway, so expect the unexpected. You have to do it. And there's a I told you back during the Fiji season, there was a favorites list made up by some guy back in Pennsylvania. And I had to get on the favorites list. And the slogan that was used, and then somebody finally came up and made a Survivor logo, they called it Survivor Message Boards. A group of 20 people off the message boards that this fella in Pennsylvania thought would make a good thing. And we called it Survivor Message Boards, and we had the Outwit, Outplay, Outlast, and the slogan on this thing was Expect the Unexpected. But anyway, getting back to there.
We've got somebody else on the switchboard that might want to say something on this situation. Let me bring someone else up and
sure.
See what they might want to talk Survivor with you.
Wonderful.
Area code 606, thank you for calling the Dragon Slayer Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good. How are you? Who is this?
I'm good.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Brandon. I'm calling from Maysville, Kentucky.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're
hello,
great.
Brandon.
Thank you for calling.
I'm from Fullicotton Corner of northeastern California. 100 miles from
the coast. Sorry about earlier. I tried to call in. I just forgot to hit the one.
You're that Brandon.
Hi, Brandon. I'm that Brandon.
I made a message to you down there on the little thing.
Did you?
So what's your take? The guys are pretty disappointing, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I think that the girls are totally going to dominate this game. Troy Zan just lost his idol. Kim still has one. So even if his plan is to take her out, she can always play that idol. I pretty much would think this is a strictly girls game. And my picks for the final three is Kim, Sabrina, and Kat. Myself.
Oh, and
interesting.
Why do you think Kat? Are one of those three somebody you bring along because you know they won't get the votes?
Yes. I believe Sabrina ain't going to get the votes. Me and a friend were talking earlier. We feel Sabrina's already kind of trying to get votes for the fans' favorite, if you can tell. To the season, we feel that she's just trying to get fans' favorite. And I think Kat is getting a bad rap. I think Kat is an extremely smart player. That just
you
got
know
a,
what?
A bad, bad
did
edit.
You hear what I did? You hear what I said to Cherry? I kind of turned around a little bit on this last episode. She started showing me something, and that's surprising about Sabrina because in the first couple of episodes, first 3 weeks or whatever, I thought, okay, she looks like she's there to play, and she's gotten hardly any airtime. It's like she's disappeared, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what I feel.
I believe, although Kim is the strongest right now, I think as a pecking order winds down, these ladies are going to start seeing what's happening. And Sabrina is smart enough, I think she and Kim are probably going to have a showdown. And,
oh, yeah.
And
but if Kim's smart,
and the other thing is, there's all nothing but guys. If there is one guy left for the final tribal council, it's going to be a 5-4 balance of men on the jury.
Wow.
Are they going to be a...
I don't think the jury is Kim's favorite right now.
No,
I don't think
I think they will see, especially once... if Troy gets, if Troyzan gets there, then he'll be able to talk with Michael a little bit under different circumstances and find out that Michael wasn't gunning for him, like Kim said. And would, if Tarzan is there, or Leaf is there, or even Troyzan, with the final girls, two girls, the guys are going to win.
Oh, yeah.
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 But
now, what girls do you feel might sway over with Troyzan? Because myself, I think Chelsea could, because noticing last night's episode, she started to feel really bad when they wanted to take Troyzan out. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So.
The other one that has, I think, a lot of talent and has gotten just nothing in as far as an edit is concerned is Christina. And if she could go with the remaining three guys right now, and if they could pull one of the other ladies, that changes the balance right now.
Oh, yeah.
And from what I understand, the idol that Troy played last night at Tribal, that's going to get reburied.
Oh, sure.
Oh, really?
And if that indeed does, that could change the picture again.
Oh, wow.
They've done it before, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would seem to me that the way this season is going, that the producers, they have some options as they go along. Of course, this is all was in the can last July. But they had options as they see how things are going from tribal council to tribal council. To make some little changes, and one of them would be a reburying the idol right now.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now Ben, or Coach, told me when he came back from Tokachin's, when I first started talking to him, he says, they don't fine-tune each episode till they see what the message boards and forums are doing.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. They make some fine tuning. They have the thing pretty much cut and dried, but the fine tuning comes at the very end after they've seen how message boards and forums are responding.
Yeah.
So you know it's completely an edited thing.
If they don't rebury it, then the show is pretty much predictable for the rest of the season if they don't do something.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. Anyway.
Would you like to see the show go back to where they don't have immunity idols at all?
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I like it in the beginning where they take your back fence neighbor who you can readily identify with, no Mactors, which a Mactor is a model or an actor, no returnees, I'd love to see Coach back. I'd love to be on a show with Coach. I'd love to be on a show with anybody.
Hey, guys, I want to ask this question real quick, and then we're going to have to wrap it up because we are really rapidly running out of time. But I did see somewhere where there are rumors of next season. Are any of those rumors true the cast?
I don't know about the cast, but it's going to be in the Philippines, in Camarena Sur on the Camotes Island group.
All right, the rumors are a whole, like calling it a second chance, and it'll be a bunch of survivors from previous seasons. So I just didn't know if those were just rumors people like to start or if there's any validity in it. So we'll keep
I've heard that, but I don't know for sure.
We'll have to see if those rumors are true or just fictitious rumors that people are starting to, keep the rumor mill rolling. So
yeah.
Doug, and thank you so much for calling in. We've got to cut this because we are almost out of time. So
Brandon,
we hope to talk to you again next Thursday.
Next time.
Yeah.
I'll talk
to you, and I'll see Coach next week, Jerry. So
all right. Well, let us know how that goes.
Okay, good enough.
All right.
God bless
you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
We are going to have to wrap this one up rather quickly. We want to remember again to keep all of those officers in your prayers. Keep Phil, 53, Phil Reynolds, in your prayers. Happy birthday to Sheila Kennedy. Be kind to everyone. I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. And remember to join us for Sunday night, the Amazing Race Recap with Louis Stravato at 10 p.m. Eastern. On Mondays, Manic Monday with Michelle Costa at 7 p.m.
Eastern. And let me interrupt
Eastern.
Right there. Manic Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern. Michelle will have just gotten back from Jillian Larson's reality rally in Temecula, California, and we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
Yes, she will. That's going to be a fun show. So make sure you're there for Manic Monday next Monday, because I can't wait to hear everything happen at the Reality Rally in Temecula. So join us for those shows as well. Everyone take care. Be kind to each other. We're going to close the show with Ron, as we always do. Here's Ron.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with... Oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I've got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet dreams.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, you invited everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be for me. And the card of that would say, thank you for being a friend. And if you threw a party, it invited everyone you knew. You would see the biggest gift would be for me. And the card of that would say, thank you for being a friend.
Good night, everyone. Take care. Be kind to each other. Thank
Good
you for being
all.
Here with us. Good night, everyone.
And enjoy this weekend's Superpass feed from Temecula. I can't wait. Take care. I'll see you next time, guys.
Good night.